We are on Babylon this morning. Babylon is the system by which Satan rules the world. It began way back almost 2,000 years ago, before Christ. And it moved to the area of the Medes and Persians, and then it moved to Rome. And Rome is where it's all capitalized today. It's a system by which Satan rules the world, and he claims that the people of the world belong to him. And he looks at them as just bodies having souls. And Revelation 17 and 18 talk about that, the cargo of bodies and souls of men. And he looks at, and the people who run the show look at the bodies as just not even being human beings, just bodies, males and females. And they are traded as in the days of slavery, but still we have that going on today. It's called debt slavery. They get you in debt and then they own you. And you have to do what you need to do to satisfy the debt. And of course, when they die, they go down to Hades, the area in which he rules over Hades as well. So now we get into the cross of Christ and his atoning death for our sins. Christ poured out his soul on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. Soul for soul. Now you may be in prison, but if you're a Christian, you are free. You may be a slave in every sense of the word, but if you're a Christian, you are free. The bodies and souls of men are used as collateral for the national debts, and they're traded on the open stock market. And you can go online and you can find out how to do that, even with your own birth certificate. On the reverse side of it, they'll be generally stamped by different nations as a borrow back and forth between each other. Christ went down into Hades at his death, where all the souls there that who had died in Christ, or not in Christ, but believing in him, he preached the proclamation of victory. I think that's 2 Peter chapter 2. But Hades and Satan could not keep his soul down in Hades. And there's three reasons for that. Number one, Christ had never sinned. Number two, Christ did not have the genetic seed of the sin nature passed down from Adam. And number three, Christ was never part of Satan's legal or religious system, so he got out of jail. If you remember the trial of Christ, he didn't answer their questions. He identified himself, but he didn't answer their questions. Anybody know the reason why?
He wasn't guilty.
No, he wasn't guilty. That's obvious.
Jurisdiction.
That's right, Ron, jurisdiction. By refusing to answer the... If he had answered their questions, he would have been putting themselves under their jurisdiction, and he refused to do so. So he was never part of their legal system. Now, we use the term all the time, in Christ. In Christo was a legal term, meaning to be identified with Christ legally. Now the problem is that, how does that work? Well, it works because when you believe in Christ, you are made in union with Christ. Therefore, you share everything with Christ. By the way, he shares everything with you, but the problem with us is that we sin and we deserve death. So because we're in him and he's in us, he took our death and he died on the cross for our sins. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Two heads, two different races, Adam's race and Christ's race. And whenever anyone believes on Christ, the righteousness of Christ is imputed to them, and their legal standing before God now is righteous. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified means to be declared righteous. So when you believe on Christ as your Savior, then God looks at you and he declares you before his court that you now are righteous. Therefore, you get to go into the eternal kingdom of God. Now, there's terms, and what's going on is that most people in America do not understand the meaning of terms. For example, I had Cheryl take the gold fringe flag off the flag here. That means, the gold fringe means that you're under admiralty jurisdiction. So that's our testimony saying, no, we don't believe that. So that's why we have the flag without the fringe on it here. The word police, everybody knows the word for police. P-O-L-I-C-E comes from the Greek polis, which is a word for city. So they are really policy police enforcers for the city corporation. They're there to serve and to protect not the people, but the city. They work for the city. What's the highest law enforcement agency in America? I can't get anything past you guys, sheriff. It's the sheriff. That was brought out in the Brady Handgun Bill Act. Lincoln County, Montana said, no, we're not doing it. Took them to court, and the court ruled that the highest law enforcement official in America is the sheriff of the county. All the police departments who worked for Anderson City Police, the city corporation called Anderson, Reading, they all work underneath the authority of the police department. If you look on TV, you'll see a lot of different spellings of it. Catalan, Denmark, France, Italy, Norway. I don't want to read them all, but you can see them up here on the board. These are the policy enforcers of people all over the world. The Vatican owns the Virginia Company, which owns the USA Company, which is going bankrupt. It is bankrupt. They've been trying to borrow money to keep it afloat. And D-Day is 3 weeks, June 1st. And the dollars we have are basically worthless. You know, I mentioned this many times, but it's time to have at least 2 months worth of food and water in your house, because whatever's going to happen is going to be an adjustment period. Okay, the word people, the word words have meanings, and the word people states that a human being belongs to a republic. And on our documents, we the people, we belong to a republic. But the word citizen denotes that a person belongs to a city. You notice that just the I-Z-E-N on the end. And the word person denotes that a human being belongs to a corporation. Now, if you read all of your legal documents from the state or wherever you get them from, they use the word person. They don't use the words citizen or people. And the word person comes from the Latin persona. And you've heard that expression before. And it's nothing more than a mask. And what was the Greek word? Persona is the Latin word, but what's the Greek word? Hypocritus, or hypocrite. Hypocrite was used, or the hypocrisis was a mask that the Greek actor played in the stage. And, you know, they had a different part, they held up a different mask. So what we have here is a persona, which means that you're an artificial person. You're just, it's just a mask that you're wearing And how do we denote that mask in the spelling of the individual's name? How do we denote that this is a person, not a human being? All capitals. They started out with all capitals, and then they went to just capitalizing the last name or the surname. So if you look at your driver's license, you'll see your last name is all capitalized. That means that this is a mask. It's a stage actor in a play. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Satan's Babylonian system, of course, is run by people, and they're the ones responsible for all the wars. In America, we had the Great Civil War, tens and tens of thousands of fine white Christian boys killing each other because of Rome. Anybody ever read the 50 Years in the Church of Rome by Father Charles Chiniquy? If you ever get a chance to get the book, read it. Abraham Lincoln was well aware that it was the Vatican and the Jesuits that were behind the Civil War. And the whole thing of the slavery was just a trumped up deal. South was going to get out of it anyway. And through that, they established the city corporation called, Virginia Company. And 1871, that was passed. Now, statues, the significance of statues in architecture. And we ever go by the courthouse, we have a statue there. What's that of? There's a big statue in front of the courthouse. Justice. Yeah. Blindfolded, holding a scale in her hand, sword in the other hand. In those days, when you went to different cities and towns, it was quite clear to them who the deities were of those towns. There would always be a prominent architectural building that stood out, generally on a hill. And a lot of money and design went into the thing, and that was the temple of their deity. And in there would be housed a statue of the deity. And they would sometimes have them in the courtyards, and people had little carvings of them. They'd put them on the masts or the bow of their ships. They'd have them in their homes, you know, like the plastic Jesus people used to carry around here. And so it let you know who that deity was that these people worship. And this town stood for the worship of the deity. And it would be Zeus in Greece or Jupiter in Rome, Sin and Heron and Ur. Stir of the Chaldees. In Europe, it would be Europa. In France, it would be Paris. In Rome, it would be Amor. In Egypt, it would be Isis and Osiris. They'd always have the statues of the deities that they worship. And the whole city, commerce was based upon that deity. Everything about it was. When Paul would go into these towns, he'd have a problem because sometimes they'd riot against him. And that's been blurred and hidden from public perspective since the advent of Christianity. But they didn't do away with it. And another place they found the statues was on top of buildings, like we have in our country. Now, whenever you see a statue of a god or goddess on a building, it meant that everything underneath that building was dedicated to the worship of that so-called deity. And the only one I think that doesn't have a statue like that is Oregon, if I'm correct. I think it has a lumberjack up there in deference to all the wood cutting and going on up there. But take a look at on the U.S. Capitol building has deities on top of it. And they give them fancy names, Lady Liberty or something like this, but it's different names for the same deity that they worship. And actually the deity that they worship is Satan. He's not a god, he's a divine being or celestial being, if you want to call him that. So they change the name because nobody's going to come out and say, hey, we worship Satan or we worship the devil. They have to sell it to the public. So they worship Satan under the name of Zeus. And they had a temple for him in Pergamum where his throne was. The Germans moved it up to Berlin, and it's been reconstructed in Berlin in a museum, and you can actually go and see it in the museum. So that's where we get into the architecture monuments of the secret societies. You see, to keep it secret, because they don't want people to worship or know that they're worshiping the devil. It's just like the Apollo moon project, remember that? Well, Apollo was the name of the son of the devil. And here we are naming our projects and our rockets after the son of Satan, who we call the Antichrist. The word Titan, anybody ever hear of a Titan missile? Well, Titan is the Greek word for the Chaldean word Thetan, T-H-E-I-T-A-N, and that's the pronunciation that they had of the Hebrew word Satan. So when you read the word Titan, you're just talking about Satan. But see, they can't have people knowing that. So they give it different names, and those on the inside happens to know. In the UN, there is a statue of Zeus in it. So who's the deity of the UN? Not Jesus Christ, is Zeus, which is just another term for the devil. The Rockefeller family had a statue of Zeus placed at Rockefeller Center. So who's the deity of Rockefeller Center? Zeus, the devil. That's what we're surrounded by. Now, when the church began, and for a while after, every Christian knew these things because they were raised in towns where they had temples and worships and priests and priestesses and all that stuff going on. So they knew the whole satanic business that was going on there, because there was Israel where allegedly people were to worship Yahweh, which most of them didn't, even though they went to the temple. And Yahweh is walking around in human form, and they ended up killing him. So they were well aware of what was really going on, because you could go to every town, be a different deity, different temples. But over the years, the satanic group went underground, and it became a mystery. Nobody told anybody anything about what was going on. And it's only been through the years of investigating that pastors and scholars out there have gotten down to what's really going on. For example, the Statue of Liberty in New York. That's not the Statue of Liberty. It's the face of Apollo, because they've got other statues of him, and it's a dead ringer. And Apollo holds the light of liberty, you know, for the world to come. They erected them over their buildings, but they also erected these statues in their ports, because the port was the entrance from the sea. And when you came into port, you see this big, like the Colossus of Rhodes, see this big statue. So who was the deity of that town or that city? Well, whoever the statue was, that was the deity that they worshiped. And where is the Statue of Liberty? Port of New York. So that's, again, and so there is one biblical pastor out there, gosh, what, he got so much flack for this, saying that this statue of Satan, his son, the Antichrist, the Apollo, and another sign that is the obelisk that they erect. The largest obelisk in the world was right here in America, the Washington Monument. They got it in New York City, they got one in London, they got them in Paris, all the major cities of the world. Another trade that they brought in is the Ferris wheel. Have you been noticing the Ferris wheels that are erected in all the major cities? Ferris wheel, the eye of Horus looking upon you. So the only way the people in the know is as they go up in the ranks and the initiation, and the York Rite has 13 levels, the Scottish Rite has 33. So Freemasonry is that thing. So now we want to touch on solar activity. And the reason why I'm bringing this stuff out is we're experiencing this now. It's happening now. And it started a few years ago. The phenomenon in Revelation 16 is about men being scorched with fire. But everybody looks at that and they think, well, here's the event. But what they don't see is the period of time leading up to that event. And you're going to see increasing radiation from the sun. And it was about a week ago, I had a bad day, and I pulled it up, and probably because that day the sun's radiation increased by 500%, fivefold. And this has been going on for at least 7 years. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. By the way, this idea of repentance, we see at this time they won't repent. I've been here quite a while, and I don't see repentance. I don't see any repentance on the part of the unsaved or the saved, because there is a Christian repentance as well. And it has a change of attitude toward Bible doctrine. Having said that, if you are out in the world and God brought you back, you better learn your lesson and not allow yourself to get in that position again. Most of us here have gone through this back in the day when God turned us around. Well, I don't want to go back there because you may not get a third chance. You got the second chance. All right. The word scorch, kalmatizo. That's our verb, kalmatizo. Scorch men with fire, per. What words do we get from per? Fire, that's one. Purge. Purification, see, P-U-R-I, purification. It's like sometimes when we have forest fires, I don't think it's happening that way now, but a forest fire cleanses the forest of mold and different things that are not healthy, and you start all over again. And men were scorched, kalmatizo, with great heat, kalma, and blaspheme the name of God. Revelation 16, verse 8. And we know that's our sun, and that's because of the word Helios. What great city was in the days of Egypt? Heliopolis. Heliopolis is the city of the sun. Okay, so the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was given power to scorch or kamatidzo men or mankind by fire. And it's the aorist active infinitive, which means for the purpose of. And in fire, there are three separate concepts found in it. First of all, is the observable fire itself. And it covers everything from the striking of a simple match to the burning of a major sun or star. It's all fire, little fire, big fire. And there are different kinds of fire producing different kinds of heat. This is why God is a consuming fire, using the same idea. So his fire is not like the fire of a match or a fireplace or the sun. It's a fire with different properties, so much so that it's able to consume the bodies and the souls of men. And that's where we get into the conditional concept in the last days, judgment lake of fire, in that when God judges, his fire destroys both body and soul. And that's brought out in Matthew 10. Fear God, who is able to destroy both the bodies and souls of men in Gehenna, Gehenna being a metaphor. Okay, number two, another phenomenon of fire is kama, and that's the light produced by the fire. A fire produces light, it produces heat, and all other phenomena that we're not aware of. So we look at a campfire, we've all sat around them, you warm your hands, you see the flames, it's very comforting, and both of those are true. But that there is something else in there. And that solar radiation, solar storms, magnetic storms, and so forth. So the sun produces more than heat and light. The problem that you have in the translation, of course it was translated 400 years ago, is that they think it's just heat. And men are burnt by the sun. And that could be true too, but there are things back then they didn't know that existed, and that is the radiation that the sun puts out. And then the next word is kaio, K-A-I-O, and that's the result of the fire. So the fire produces heat and light, that's its results. One sees the light and feels the heat. You don't reverse it. You don't feel the light and see the heat. So those are, light and heat are the results or effects of the fire, but also the ashes left over are the result. Now, if you burn larch and burn it up at night versus oak, there's a big difference. You have less ash with larch than you do with oak. Pine, same thing. If you burn manzanita, there's sometimes just a little tracing of dust. Why? What? Why does manzanita leave less residue? It burns hotter because of the oils in the plant. So people try to think about Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah were used as analogies for what God's going to do in the final judgment, and that is burned to where there's nothing left. And they actually found, they think what happened is a bolide or asteroid or something exploded over the area. And these archaeologists have been going around analyzing all the soil over this basin. And you can see the, you know, kind of an imprint where like it was an impact, and with tremendous heat, where everything would have been just vaporized, or at the very least, just ashes left. And the wind comes along and blows the ashes away. So now there's nothing left. Now, out of heat and light, we end up with a suntan, sunburn, or heat stroke. That would be the effects of the sun's fires. So here we have three words, per, the word for fire, kama, tidzo, scorching, and kama, being scorched. So we're dealing with our sun, its fire and the heat, light, and other phenomena. And that's what we have to focus in on. Because heat and light, you can see. You can see if it's getting brighter. You can feel that it's getting hotter. But these other things that it produces, we can't see. Okay, here's some of the things that the sun produces. Produces X-rays, photons, gamma rays, ultraviolet ABC rays, infrared ABC rays, and unknown particles, stuff they don't even know. And that's what the sun produces. So if it's giving off greater heat, they emphasize that word, heat, well, that means it's going to get brighter and it's going to get hotter. We understand that. But what about this other? If it's going to get brighter and it's going to get hotter, then we're going to have more of these. And it produces coronal mass ejections. They call it CME. And they have instruments they can actually, as they have these eruptions on the sun, and they have these rays going out hundreds of thousands of miles. And then it just goes, and if it's directed toward the Earth, well, then the Earth is going to feel the brunt of it. Even our magnetic belt won't stop it. There's light made up of the total frequency spectrum of electromagnetic radiation. The heat can be felt here on Earth. Ultraviolet. Ultraviolet is what tears everything down, makes it decompose. Infrared, ABC, gamma rays, X-rays, photons, and unknown particles. So when it says that men will be scorched with great heat, it means that all of these other concepts are going to be found in it. And because it's not going to be like a light switch, it's going to get worse and worse and culminate at this period of time. So what we will be able to detect is an increasing radiation from the sun. And we have not seen a yellow sun in years and years. Anybody know why? Because of the spraying of the chemtrails with cadmium, barium, aluminum, and only God knows what else they've stuffed in there. That's,
And fires.
And fires. So that's why when you look at the sun, some days you can look at it and the whole sky looks platinum-like. It looks aluminum-like. You don't have a clear yellow sun, you have a diffuse atmosphere. Well, that's the stuff they're spraying just about every day over the people's houses. And that stuff goes down into the soil, into the water. We breathe it. We have sinus infections because of it. And your immune systems are working overtime just to strengthen yourself against the stuff that they're spraying in there. There's a group called geoengineering.org. It started up in Mount Shasta with some doctors and scientists up there, retired. And then it moved down to Reddington. And Dane Wigington, I think is his name, he has a site on it. He was a solar power installer. He owned the business. And he built a house up on Lake Shasta. And he noticed that his solar displays weren't producing the electricity that they should have. He kept them clean and all the rest of it. And he found out that it's because the sun's rays that it picks up on for photosynthesis weren't coming through. And that was a few years ago. Here, a couple, 3 years back, they had a meeting here in Reading at the City Hall. City Hall was at the courthouse, yeah. over 1,000 people, standing room only outside. And these are made up of doctors, engineers, scientists, pilots, not a flake in the middle of them. These are all seasoned professionals, some of them over 30 years in the Department of Fish and Game, talking about what they're doing to the soil and to the air. And all of that junk they're spraying coats every leaf on every tree. It coats every blade of grass. And it acts as an accelerant so that when it catches fire, it goes whoosh. It's almost at the speed of light. That's why Santa Rosa, much of that burned down. That's why Paradise burned down. We had a big fire down here and all over the state because of this. And the people, the fire marshals and fire chiefs, all those guys talked about it. They said this is impossible for a forest fire to do what it did, because it was melting aluminum blocks in the engines of cars parked on the street, melting the rims of the cars. It takes 2,000 degrees to melt aluminum. Yet those only forest fires burn at 1,100 degrees. You can't have a forest fire that burns at 1,100 degrees to burn aluminum and melt aluminum. Why? It's not hot enough. It also melted glass. Glass melts at 2,600 degrees. And I saw the pictures, I watched the whole video, in Santa Rosa, and the houses, there wasn't any girders, no vertical poles. The only thing that was left untouched were the fireplaces in the houses, and the rest of it was dust. A normal fire doesn't do that. They have hundreds of thousands of fires. This will obviously cause droughts, shortage of water throughout the world. Revelation 6:6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Well, it adds up to about a day's wages for a loaf of bread when you figure out what a measure is. So that's a serious problem, isn't it? The effects, and this is where we want to get into, the effects of solar radiation are known to affect human consciousness and the body. They affect the stomach lining, all brain activity. Well, I was trying to be funny here, but that didn't work out. Equilibrium. Sometimes the kids give me a hard time because I bounce into walls. I blame it on the sun rather than getting old. Human behavior, all psychophysical response, that's mental, emotional, physical. They can cause us to be nervous, anxious, worrisome, because they affect the emotions of the individual. Jittery, dizzy, shaky. By the way, I'm reading this off because if you have any of these symptoms, you might want to consider that as a result of this. You'll find it more pronounced during the daytime than you do at night. Why is that? Because the sun is going to the other side. So they're starting to feel these things. Irritable, lethargic, exhausted, have short-term memory loss. See, it's not because I'm old, it's because of the sun. Heart palpitations. You ever get those? Feel nauseous, queasy, have prolonged head pressure, and headaches. In our study on the emotions, and it's over 400 classes, Our lower emotions are low frequency energy stored in our cells from past experiences. And one of the things I brought out there is if you go through anything traumatic now, especially when you're growing up, and I call that the event, whatever the event is, and it triggers emotions inside of you. And 20 years later, the event's gone. But you still feel this way. You still suffer. So where is this? Where's it all coming from? Well, it's coming from the event became an energy, a negative energy, a bad energy, and that's stored in every cell in your body. So maybe you're not going nuts either. Well, I don't know, some of you, I have my doubts, but if you haven't processed it, then it is stored. By the way, that's why confession of sins to God is so important, because it's releasing this stuff from you. Sharing it with other people is somewhat helpful, but to be completely washed of it, you got to confess it to God. So they call that cellular memories. Photon energy is a much higher frequency energy, and it's like bullets, choom, 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 going through your body. And as it does, and it hits the cells, it pulls up the lower emotional frequency. And then you will start to feel weepy, sad at times. And you won't know why, because everything's hunky-dory, everything's fine, but all of a sudden you just, I don't understand why I'm feeling so sad. It's because the radiated energy is releasing this stuff in your body. And some people are more sensitive than others. There are people out there, they're like Alfred E. Newman, what me worry? I have no problems whatsoever, amigo. But there are those who, there's a technical word, but they also call them sensoids. A sensoid is somebody who's really sensitive to the feelings that other people emit. And if you think about it, our souls are like TV transmission stations, and they're constantly radiating energy, good or bad. And that's why you walk into a room where a husband and wife have been arguing, you can feel it, can't you? You can. What are you feeling? You're feeling the negative anger emotion that they're having toward each other, even if no words are spoken. And that's why when some people you confront them, you say, hey, what's going on? You say, nothing, I'm fine. Well, we all know that's not true, because we are transmitters and receivers at the same time. We can feel it. I can feel people who are self-righteous and legalistic. I can feel them, people who are angry in the church. I feel it, and it's not fun. It's not fun to be able to tune in to other people's emotional state. Well, the photon energy releases lower frequencies, and sadness and grief generally come with us. Now, there is a word, it used to be on the internet, I can't even pronounce the word. If it does come up, it'll last about 20 minutes. Drink lots of water, lay down, and it'll eventually work out of you. Our bodies are not like we think. Remember, God made our bodies in the image and likeness of God. It's, sin is what's got it messed up. We're extremely complex beings. Okay, finishing up. Feeling agitated and uneasy, a marked increase in other symptoms, time and space get out of whack. We lose words when we are speaking. See, it's not my age. We lose words when we're speaking. The day simply disappears. We are not sleeping well again. Tossing and turning at nights. Anybody been going through that lately? I know my wife and I sure have had that. So kind of grubby this morning because I just couldn't get to sleep. A lot of energy before I go to sleep, and I just lay there. And so about 2 a.m, you start to go to sleep. Then you wake up again. Huge energy surges in the body, followed by energy drops, ups and downs, nausea, body aches, pain and dizziness, deep grief. Sometimes the room starts to spin, inner ear issues, buzzing or ringing in the ears, throat and thyroid issues, cold feet, dryness of tongue. It's because of, these are the doctors who brought this out, to increase solar activity. Now, there's an aorist tense used in here, and it's what they call a culminative aorist. So what we're reading about here in Revelation 18, about the sun giving off more heat, is due to a buildup. So if it builds up to that point in prophecy, it means that there's a period of time that goes before the buildup that you are going to know this in ever-increasing amounts. And that's what I think where we're at today. And it's building up to the big sun explosion. Father, thank you for the study. We pray you bless it in Christ's name. Amen.